numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
This is Stuart Venner. I tell it as I see it, and I see it as it is.
It was interesting, but it was also stupid.
Should old Aqua Eintanky be forgot and never bring to mind? Should old Aqua Eintanky be forgot and old Lang Syne? For old Lang Syne, my dear, for old Lang Syne, we'll take a cup of kindness yet for old Lang Syne. And surely you'll buy your pint cup, and surely I'll buy mine. And we'll take a cup of kindness yet for old Lang Syne.
This is Stuart Venner. I want to welcome you to this week's New Year's show. We have a great lineup of guests. We're talking to Mark Bonus. He's written the book about suicide to success. We have our weekly segment with Fred Claridge, our stock market moron, lost $1 million in one day. We have John Murphy, a Zentrepreneur. He talks about changing your philosophies. We have a fun segment with Georgia Woodbine, an author of How to Attract the Right Man. And we have Ben Boone. Ben has been hospitalized 9 times for mental illness, has quite a story to tell. Also, please go to StuartVenner.com. You can hear our current show and any of our past shows. And if you click on merchandise, you can buy a Stuart Venner God of Talk Radio t-shirt, a Fred Claridge Stock Market Moron shirt, and you can buy my original self-portrait. I painted it, and as an investment, can only go one direction. Please stay tuned.
Sometimes even though there's nothing bad, I can't help but feel a little sad. Laying on the couch with nothing to do, so I'll sing a little song for you. Things I like when I'm depressed. Flip pillows so they're cold, it's something I'd suggest. These are things I like when I'm depressed. Things to like when you're depressed. When the cheese is hot but the lettuce cold, watching the Fraggle Rock intro never gets old. Squeezing together my tummy fats, browse Reddit for gifts of cats. Sit on the floor, it's nice down there. Pinch my nose to my lip and make a mustache of hair. Tweak the doorstop so it vibrates, or eat a mug full of frosted flakes. Things I like when I'm depressed. Open the fridge and close it, that's the best. Things I like when I'm depressed. Things to like when you're depressed.
I have Mark Bonus on the line. He's calling in from the UK. And Mark has quite a story to tell us. He went from suicide to success, and he called it a New Year's revolution. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Can you tell us a little bit about what you've gone through?
Yeah, sure. So it's that sort of situation that a lot of people feel themselves in, where I was just living this treadmill, just on this treadmill of life, going along, doing the things that I thought everybody else wanted me to do. This was the age of 26. And so whilst I was at university studying theology, I was also growing as a church speaker, a leader. A lot of people were looking up to me, respecting me. You know, I was speaking in churches, writing magazines. But I got engaged after dating a girl for some years. We got married. And as my profile was growing, my relationship was falling apart.
So everything was going bad for you.
Yes, but to the outside world, it looked great. But yes, explosive arguments. We got to a point, I was only 26 years old, and we got to a point where the marriage was over. I'll never forget my wife walking out of the door. I knew that the relationship was over. We were surrounded in the apartment. I was surrounded in the apartment of all the things that we built together. And that night, I Googled most painless and quickest way to kill myself. And that night, I tried to end my life.
And you weren't even good at that.
No, I wasn't very good.
And added to that, you're living in the UK. You probably are dentally deprived.
Death awaits you all with nasty, big, pointy teeth.
I'm just kidding you. So tell me, how did you turn everything around, Mark?
But look, yeah, I mean, that moment was actually the most powerful awakening moment of my life. I realized I'd lived on planet Earth for 26 years and yet I'd never truly lived. It was the moment for me, whilst previously I saw my future at that moment in time after the marriage had ended as a dark, depressing future which I didn't want to walk into. Once I'd grasped the concept that we live life once, I then began to view my life as this blank canvas on which I could paint whatever picture I created. The results of that was outstanding. I had no fear. I launched a business in Fiji. I leased an island and invited people from around the world to live on this island. This idea caught the media attention. It was on Good Morning, Today Show, New York Times. It was filmed for 18 months. It became a TV show that went out in the UK, America, and Australia. And that was only 3 months after trying to take my own life.
Wow. So you were living in Fiji?
Well, I was, yes. I'd set up this business in Fiji, and we had lots of people from around the world come to visit the island, to help build the island, to really submerge themselves in the Fijian culture. It was just the fact that I really grasped the fact that I'd been living for everybody else, or how I felt like I wanted everybody else, you know, everybody else wanted me to live. But I decided to live my life for myself, and that was a transformational moment. That was my New Year's resolution at that point in time, to live my life for myself. And that had transformational results. And so I've launched a new project to empower people this year to start their own New Year's revolution.
So that's amazing. So do you have a new wife, or have you reconciled with your former one? Or?
No, I'm single, but I'm totally... I've totally passionate about spending my time to inspire people to live the life that they were created to live. So I'm doing lots of speaking and seminars, events and conferences and one-to-one consultations. That has taken up a lot of my time, but at the right time, the right partner and situation.
Yeah, you're young. You'll find the right one. You know, this is our New Year's show, and I know everyone is making New Year's resolutions. You call yours a New Year's revolution. But from what I hear, 80% of people who make these resolutions fail at them. And why is that?
That's right. As far as I'm concerned, there's three reasons as to why this takes place. Firstly, because we try to make a change in one area of our life, and yet our old patterns of behavior, which are our strongest dominant patterns, submerge that one change that we try to make. Secondly, we don't know the right tools and techniques in order to empower, to enable to make that change. And thirdly, we don't have a community of people around us who are equally passionate about making a change in their life. So I brought together 31 personal development experts from around the world. We put together an ebook, which is 31 chapters, which cover everything, all your New Year's resolutions, from losing weight, improving your career, getting fit and healthy. And yet we go deeper. We look at how to love ourselves, how to gain that confidence, how to create a vision for our life. And so we put this project together.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, Mark. How can people get this and read this?
Yeah, sure. So it's totally free. Just sign up on joinanewyearsrevolution.com. That's joinanewyearsrevolution.com. Loads of free resources.
And you're going to learn how Mark did his, what he, the tips and the things that he did to turn his life around, and his experts that he deals with. You know, I don't think you have to hit rock bottom. You can sometimes catch it before that, can't you?
Absolutely. And when you get exactly, when you have the tips, techniques, and the right people around you, you can really move forward in your life. It's been true of my own life, and I'm looking forward to helping others do the same.
Now, where do you live, in London?
At the moment, I actually live in Australia, in Melbourne,
okay.
But I'm home for Christmas in the UK with my family.
So you went from the fog and the bad teeth to where the criminals came from.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm just kidding you, but I think it's a marvelous thing that you've done.
Enjoy it, too, aren't you?
Well, it was a penal colony, wasn't it, originally?
Yes.
It's okay.
Yes.
Mark, and you've told your story on a lot of television shows, and you've had your series about your living in the wilderness, and I think it's been marvelous talking to you, and I hope everybody can take advantage of this. Again, we're talking to Mark Bonus, and his book is, say it, well, your website, once again, give it to us.
joinanewyearsrevolution.com.
Okay, everybody hear that? And Mark, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
Are you stuck with a timeshare?
Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Fred was a little special. Fred was kind with good intent, but just a little different. Oh, special Fred. Mama dropped him on his head. Now he's not so bright instead. He's a little bit special.
Welcome back to the show. We have our weekly segment with Fred Claridge, the stock market moron. Fred lost $1 million in one day. Fred, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Stuart. Good morning.
Good morning. And how did you do this week, and how did you do for 2013 in your personal portfolio?
2013 is only a minor loss, but you have to understand the market was up about 50 or 60%. So that wasn't bad.
And this last week, how did you do?
The last week, surprisingly, I did okay. The reason being is I held on to my stocks thinking that the market was going to go down. But as things would happen, the market has been going up, and even today it's up.
So
but
even you had enough good sense to not follow your own instincts and your own advice?
Oh, I had to tie myself in a knot, not to push the button and buy or sell stock. But I have a real good one for you today.
Oh, really? What is it?
This is for people who are looking for a fine return. It's a bit risky. It's a stock called CVR Refining. The symbol is CVRR. It's a stock in which Carl Icahn himself owns 1 million shares. I own 500, so I have cursed it for him. And the stock has gone down substantially. It's what's called an MLP, which stands for Master Limited Partnership.
So what is it trading for now, Fred?
It's trading now for about 21.
And what are you in it for?
All-time low. I'm in the stock at 26.
So you're only down $5 a share.
$5 a share, but there's a very good yield. The stock, if it continues to pay dividends as a refiner, is an excellent, excellent investment. It's not one where you're going to put all of your money into the stock. And it's, I would grade it the same almost as a junk bond. But you're betting with Carl Icahn, who is the best stock market trader
in
the
world. Well, that is probably something good. But the bad thing is you're betting with you. But maybe you've already taken your loss on that one. So if you get in $5 below Fred, you may be okay.
I haven't taken the loss, but you'll get in way before me. It's a great stock. It is a refiner located in the middle of the country, and it's part of Carl Icahn's larger is CVR Energy, but it's CVRR. Take a look at it. Get some advice. When you're dealing with what's called a master limited partnership, there are different tax consequences, but I would take a shot at this. This could be a real winner.
All right. Well, we've heard it. We've heard it from Fred Claridge. And, folks, if you go on our website, stuartvenner.com, and click on merchandise, you can own your own Fred Claridge Stock Market Moron T-shirt. And as an investment, that T-shirt can only go one direction. Fred, thank you so much for coming on the show. Welcome back to the show. I have John Murphy on the phone. John is a Zentrepreneur. We've got to find out what that is. I'm an entrepreneur manure myself, but he's an holistic business consultant, an author, a speaker. John, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Now, tell me, what is a Zentrepreneur?
Well, a Zentrepreneur is someone who makes good change. I mean, that's the simplest way to think about it, because Zen is really about positive thinking. It's about balance and healthy, holistic well-being. It's about presence and poise, confidence.
Are you a Buddhist?
Entrepreneur. Well, I've studied it. I've practiced it. But I'm not any one box, if you will. You know,
okay.
I study, in fact, I spent my 50th birthday with the Dalai Lama. I value the teachings greatly. But I also see the parallels between the teachings of the Buddha and the teachings of Jesus and the teachings of Lao Tzu and the Tao Te Ching and others. So,
did you meet the Dalai Lama?
Yeah. In fact, I did. I was on my 50th birthday. He was lecturing on the wisdom of emptiness, which was quite profound. Because in order for us to take on more, we have to let go.
Did you tell him hello, Dalai?
We have to empty our bowl, so to speak. I'm sorry. What was the question?
I just wondered if you said hello, Dalai.
Hello, Dalai. This is Louis Dalai.
Yeah. No, I actually didn't come up with that one.
Now, you're a business consultant. What do you think the biggest mistakes that people make?
Well, you know, I think the biggest mistake people make is that they hold themselves back. I say it's like going through life with the brakes on, with your foot on the brakes, and you wouldn't drive your car that way. Because it doesn't make any sense. You wouldn't get very good mileage, so to speak.
Well, I think that's true. Most people worry themselves to death before they even try to do something.
Yeah, it's true. So we talk ourselves out of things. So the entrepreneur takes action, takes ownership, takes charge. And the Zentrepreneur, then, is somebody who takes charge and makes good change. I do a lot of Kaizen, and Kaizen is a Japanese word that means good change.
It is.
And, in corporations, when we run Kaizen events, we essentially assemble a team, and we prepare ahead, and then we go into an event, which is typically a week long. And in that event, we make good change. We don't just sit around and talk about it. We actually execute the changes. So it's a very decisive process. It's very motivating, very inspiring, and a lot gets done in a very short period of time.
Now, I know you mentioned, I've been reading a little bit about you in your casual circle. What is a casual circle?
Well, it's actually a causal circle, and a causal, it's a root cause analysis tool.
Oh, causal circle. I'm sorry, I've spoken wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's, what we're trying to do is look at the relationship between cause and effect.
Okay.
So we start with effects, you know, and we identify with data and facts. These are not opinions. With facts and data, we identify what we call UDEs, or undesirable effects. So these would be things that we don't like. They're undesirable. You know, we're losing money, or we're wasting money, we're wasting time, we're wasting talent. We take too long. Our customers are upset with us.
Sure.
Or it could be a personal thing. You know, I'm a few pounds overweight, or I don't have enough time. I've got a lot of debt. You know,
so
whatever.
So maybe you do
whatever.
Work backwards. You see what the effect is, then you work backwards to see what caused it.
Yeah.
Makes
sense.
Yeah.
So you identify 8 or 10 UDEs, undesirable effects. You circle. You put them around a circle, and then you start at one UDE and you say, does this UDE cause any of the other UDEs? And you go all the way around the circle, and then you start with the next one. Does this UDE cause any of the other circles? What you're really looking for is, are there one or two or three UDEs that are more than that, that are more than undesirable effects? They're actually causing a whole lot of other UDEs. So the idea is to have fewer projects, fewer things to work on, not more.
Well, it's things that you can actually accomplish. You can try a million things and not get anything done.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right, and that's what's going on in many organizations.
That's right.
And at home as well. People
you go so many different directions, you don't do anything right.
Yeah.
Tell me, you mentioned a lot about the law of attraction. What is that?
Well, the law of attraction just simply means that we reap what we sow. So what we are, what we feel every day when we wake up to the time we go to sleep, what we feel and what we are is what we attract. So it essentially says that if we're not getting the results we really want, look in the mirror, because what we're putting out is coming back to us.
That's right.
So, I mean, it's a way of understanding that the universe is not judgmental, that God is not judgmental, that we are co-creating our own results.
And you also mentioned that if the wise people pay attention to the wise, which I think makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you're going to learn something, you're not going to learn it from a stupid person. You just learn to be stupid.
Well, yeah, and I always say pay attention to who you pay attention to.
Exactly.
Because, you know, people love to give advice, but a lot of times they're giving advice about something they know absolutely nothing about. That includes parents. It even includes teachers, medical professionals.
I think
attorneys.
It especially includes teachers that I'm hearing about in the schools today. My God.
Oh, yeah.
They're outrageous.
But we think they know what they're talking about because of their title or because of their educational background, their academic background.
They do a lot of damage.
Be cautious. Yeah.
John, can you tell us how people can learn more about you?
Well, sure. I'm very Googleable.
Okay.
It's JohnJMurphy, .net, or you can go to VentureManagementConsultants.com, which is the name of my company. VentureManagementConsultants.com features all of the books I've written.
And do you have where can they can find your books at VentureManagementConsultants.com?
Oh, yeah. Yep, exactly. And you can find them on Amazon. You can find them on Barnes & Noble. They're in the stores. So, it's getting great reviews, and I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, I'm going to read that myself. The Zentrepreneur, which is entrepreneur with a Z before it.
That's correct.
And it sounds very, very interesting. John, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend a presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. BuyYourTimeshare.com. That's BuyYourTimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the man song.
He's the man. He's the man.
I don't take no crap from anybody else but you. I wear the pants around here when I finish with your laundry. Cause I'm a guy you don't want to fight. When I say jump, you say yeah, right. I'm the man of this house until you get home.
He's the man. He's the man.
What I say goes around here, right out the window. And I don't want to hear a lot of whining, so I'll shut up. The sooner you learn who's boss around here, the sooner you can give me my orders, dear. Because I'm head honcho around here, but it's all in my head.
He's the man. He's the man.
And I can have sex any time that you want. Because I'm a man who has needs, but they're not that important. And don't expect any flowers from me, because if I'm not mistaken, you prefer jewelry. I'm the king of my castle when you're not around.
He's the man. He's the man.
And I'll drink and watch sports whenever I want to get in trouble. And I'll come home when I'm good and ready to sleep on the couch. Because a man's got to do what a man's got to do, and I'm going to do what you tell me to, because I'm top dog around here, but I've been neutered.
Folks, I have Georgia Woodbine on the air. Georgia is a very interesting lady. She has a new relationship book about the secrets that every woman should know on how to attract the right man into your life, which I think has got to be better than the wrong one. Welcome to the show, Georgia.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you're a speaker, a life coach. How did you get into this about how attracting the right kind of man?
Well, you know, I always say you can't teach what you don't know and you can't lead where you don't go. Basically, from my personal experiences and trying to find my Mr. Right is what really, helped me put this whole book together. And, like, just, you know, from talking to people in relationships and girlfriends and guys and just kind of getting a big overview of everything and learning from my own past mistakes in relationships, that's really what inspired me to write this book.
So you have to look for the kind of man that interests you and your interests, right?
Right, right. And it's never really about seeking. It's more about attracting, you know, just
like
in anything in life.
Are you into whips and chains?
No.
Oh, okay, just checking. I know somebody that might be good for you. I was just checking.
You know, but it's always about attracting what you want. I think that a lot of times women do tend to settle, especially when they've reached a certain age or they've been married before or divorced or, you know, a lot of times people go into the same cycle of relationships and they always end up attracting someone that they didn't want to attract because that's what they're used to. So when you become aware of what you're attracting, then you realize that maybe I need to change something so that I can attract different types of men into my life.
Now, how can you find these men? Do you advertise or Christian mingle? Well,
no. You know,
where do you go?
It's not really about advertising. It's about positioning yourself to meet these guys. If you want to attract someone that's an intellectual that likes certain things, then you need to go to those places. Because you're not going to find this kind of guy, you know, just sitting around a bar or going to a club. You know, you have to position yourself, especially with more of, like, what your interests are. So if you're somebody that likes to read books and you're going to the bookstore, just be open to it to happen. I'm not saying go places seeking, but knowing that if you put out that energy, that if people see that you're a happy person and you're content with yourself, then you're going to attract that kind of guy because he's going
to
see that
energy. So you go to the bookstore looking for a guy who's interested in books.
You're going to do what you normally enjoy doing, but you're positioning yourself to find the kind of people that like that have the same interests that you have.
Does it help if you dress sexy?
What do you want me to do? Dress and drag and do the hula?
Basically, just going places where you think people would like the same things that you like.
Okay. And how's it worked for you? Have you got a good man now?
Well, I'm getting married in July of next year.
I love him for the man he wants to be, and I love him for the man that he almost is.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You didn't find him on Craigslist, did you?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
Actually, does Craigslist even still exist? I think they took Craigslist down, but...
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I met him because we were best friends, and I allowed the process to happen. When we started going out, I wasn't really looking for a relationship. I just became his friend, and we enjoyed each other's company. And, you know, my whole thing about attracting Mr. Light is learning how to become friends with a man first.
Louis, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Before you become intimate with him, because I think when women get intimate too quickly with a man, then you realize later on that, wow, I really don't even like this person. Like, I don't like this person's character.
That brings up an interesting topic. How long should you know someone before you get intimate? 10 minutes?
Well,
2 days? I don't know.
Well, you know what? I would never really put a time frame on it because everybody's different and everybody has their own, you know, way of doing things. But give it enough time to get to know somebody, you know. I even just wrote an article recently
about... At least
a
second date, right? Second date.
No. I actually wrote an article about Khloe Kardashian and Lamar Odom. You know, they only knew each other 30 days before they got married. 30 days is not enough time for you to get to know somebody.
No, but they were probably practicing.
Well, it's just not enough time. Like, how can you really get to know somebody in 30 days? Just because people show up with their representative when you're dating them. They never show you their true colors until after time. People are, it's like they can't hide it after a certain period of time, but they show up with their representative, what they want you to believe about them. So you have to give it time for you to really see this person's true colors and really what they're about.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
That's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
And like I said, you just can't find that out in 30 days.
That makes sense.
It's impossible.
So how long did you know your... fiance?
Well, I've known him for 15 years, but we started dating. Like, I really got to know him. See, that's the thing. I knew him 15 years, but I didn't know a lot about him. I got to really know him in an intimate way, like, after 4 years of dating. So
4 years? He must be very patient. That 4 years of dating before you got intimate? Not too many
No, no, no. Not 4 years. Okay, let me rephrase that.
Okay.
It wasn't 4 years after we got intimate. It's more like, you know, it was a period of time. I mean... But it wasn't like
at least
2 weeks or 30 days.
Okay.
Right. Well, it wasn't 6 months, but we took our time to enjoy each other's company.
And Georgia, you're a lot of fun. I'm teasing you a little bit, but I think what you're doing makes a lot of sense. Can you tell the folks how they can get your book and how they can learn more about this?
Yes, they can go to my website. The books are going to be available at Barnes & Noble, so they can go to my website at www.georgiawoodbine.net, and they can Google me online on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You know, I'm online. They could just Google me.
Okay, so again, you go to georgiawoodbine.net. That's GeorgiaWoodbine.net. And you can get this book on how to attract the right man into your life. And all you ladies out there, take my advice. Wait till the second date, but don't wait till the third. you may go away.
Well, you know what? If he's a good one, he'll wait. That's all I can say.
Well, yeah, but how long?
See, you know, why do people have to put a time frame on this? Like, why can't you just go out?
I agree. 10 minutes works for me.
Friends, and whatever happens, happens. I'm not saying, you know, I'm just saying give it time to happen. I'm not saying put a time on it, but I'm just saying give yourself time to get to like the person and know the person before you become intimate.
Oh, that makes sense. That's Georgia, all. I want to thank you. You've been delightful, and I think we've all learned a lot.
I teased you
a little bit, but it's been a fun interview, and I think everybody can learn a lot from you. And go to georgiawoodbine.net. Georgia, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Jiggy Jaguar.
Neil Bortz with us today. He's
if they put Fox News on, liberals will complain.
Uh-huh.
If they put CNN on, conservatives are going to complain.
Jiggy Jaguar.
We've got Tom Donahue with us today. I started to organize, no, not like Obama.
Jiggy Jaguar.
Publisher of Talkers Magazine, Michael Harrison.
And it's a lot of fun, and it's very informative, and it does a lot of things. One, it's
www.jiggyjaguar.com.
Are you in the terrible position of owing more than your real estate is worth? It just doesn't make sense to throw more good money after bad. At some point, it does make good sense to cut your losses. Don't count on failed government programs that in the end make your problem even worse. We are years away from a housing recovery. Disposing of it incorrectly could create disastrous tax consequences and ruin your credit. You could even pay income tax on the lender's loss. I'm Stuart Venner, president of the Wilshire Holding Group. With over 18 years' experience, we have the proven solution to your problem. A way to dispose of that upside-down property without incurring tax liability and minimize any negative credit. Don't walk away from the property. Call us first. Go to RealtyCrisis.com or call 877-94-HELP-ME. That's RealtyCrisis.com, RealtyCrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME. Don't lie awake nights worrying. We're here to help you. RealtyCrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME. RealtyCrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME.
Maria, 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 Maria,
she's a real good find, but she thinks the government reads her mind. She wears that tin foil hat outside. She She loves to go to the mall and practice her bird calls in the parking lot, wearing just a bra. Mama says get her some pills, Daddy says run for the hills. Well, I love her, I just think she's bipolar. Well, she loves to smell my feet and pour my beer down the sink. And the neighbors call the cops about twice a week. I had an old blue tick hound. Been 3 years since I put him down. She still feeds him and carries his bones to town. But Mama says get her some pills, Daddy says run for the hills. I love her, I just think she's bipolar. What am I gonna do with all this stuff she's accumulated? Like all the family albums, people not related. My mama says get her some pills, Daddy says let her get lost in the hills. Well, I love her, I just think she's bipolar. She says the Martians tell her what to think, their home base and our kitchen sink. I swear I'm afraid she's gonna kill me in my sleep. My mama says get her some pills, Daddy says run for the hills. Well, I love her, but I think she's bipolar. And that means crazy, nuts, whacked out of her head, son. You joker, Shaladeg. Anything else you can say about crazy? That's what it is. I don't care what you doctors say, you people with your daggone medical degrees, she's nuts.
Welcome back to the show. I have Ben Boone online, and we're going to discuss mental illness. Ben shares a journey that he took in his early 30s when he was diagnosed with schizophrenia when he graduated from college. Ben, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened, about the journey that you've taken?
Yes, well, my illness began for me the last year of college when I began to forget things, misplace things, smell strange smells, hear strange things, and voices and machinery. What eventually led to was confusion and disorganized thinking. I began to forget the simplest places that I was going to. I went to visit my parents in the Virgin Islands during the last year of school, and they commented how awful I looked. And eventually it was a gradual descent to madness.
What do you think caused this? I mean, it just came on you suddenly?
Yeah, well, it was a kind of a flickering of a light, an analogy. I would have really great days, and I'd feel fine, and then strange things would happen. I would hear things, and because I'm a writer, I thought, oh, this is a creative process. But then it became something that was destructive.
You are talking about the nonsensical ravings of a lunatic mind.
Were you hearing voices? I mean, were you paranoid as well?
Yeah, I wasn't paranoid, but I was hearing voices and machinery, a voice of a kind of an androgynous voice that would comment about different aspects of my life, people that I was with, that kind of thing.
I'm afraid what you're describing is schizophrenia.
No. No, it's not schizophrenia. It's just a voice in my head.
Were you using any kind of drugs? Do you think anything like that might have caused it?
No, I've always been a very healthy person my entire life. I'm a vegetarian. I'm a runner. It's something that I have had mental illness in my family. My grandfather had bipolar disorder. My cousin has obsessive compulsive disorder. My grandmother had depression.
You're all nuts.
So it's something.
So you kind of inherited, I guess. I think eating all those vegetables was probably bad for you. You need to eat more garbage like I do. So how long did it take for them to diagnose what you had?
Yeah, it was the day after my graduation, and Ted Turner was giving the keynote address, and I was kind of overwhelmed by the whole experience. People's faces looked distorted, and I was confused and smelling things, and I was frightened. I was frightened of my mind. I was frightened of what was happening to me. And so I got up for take a breath of air outside. I just stayed out there. I was just standing there. And then when I came back in, maybe 20 minutes later, everyone had graduated. So then the next day, my parents took me to McLean Hospital in Belmont, Massachusetts.
And they were able to diagnose your problem. Are you taking medicine?
I am. I'm taking a variety of drugs. It took a long time to get the right meds. It took me about 9 medicines until I found the right ones that work for me.
Well, what is the main thing that's helping you? What medicine are you taking?
I'm taking a drug called Lamictal, and also a drug called Risperidol. And those two drugs in combination, I get one as an injection, have really created the foundation. And medication is a foundation, I think, more than anything. I don't think there's a magic pill or something that can cure everything. I think that the matter of having certain things in stabilized in life that can make a foundation to get better.
Now, you've written the book, haven't you, about this?
Yes.
Can you tell us about it? What's it called? Master of Mind? Minority of Mind, I'm sorry.
Minority of Mind, yeah. Minority of Mind, yeah. It's about some of my experiences with schizophrenia in early adulthood and also medical research in Boston. I've participated in hundreds of studies for schizophrenia and other diseases. And so the book chronicles some of those my experiences with those research studies in Boston and also talks about my day-to-day, what it's like to live with an illness in society, much more to realize that mental illness isn't just a physical illness and it isn't a mental illness. It's also about how we respond to it in society, as a society, and also how we respond to it as people who are mentally ill.
That's very good. Are you married?
No, I'm not, no.
Do you have a girlfriend?
No. I don't have any romantic interests right now.
Okay. But this medicine is working for you. Are you doing other work? Do you work?
Yes, I do. I work as a freelance writer. I also do some editing for an online magazine, online magazine.
All right. Well, we're talking to Ben Boone and his book Minority of Mind. It sounds very fascinating. It tells his story and how he's working to overcome this problem. Ben, can you tell the folks where they can get your book and where they can read it?
Sure, yeah. I've been speaking around the country, actually, on topics of mental health. And you can check me out at minorityofmind.com. And up there you'll find some links to presentations that I've given. And also you'll find some information about how you can order my book.
Now, I'll ask you one last question. You say it's schizophrenia. I mean, there's so many things that the mind can do. Is that a true diagnosis, or are there other? Could it be bipolar, paranoia? I mean, is it a combination of things? It's hard to label this, isn't it?
Yeah, well, labels, you know, that's something that's difficult to do because an illness is so complex. You know, you have a certain framework, you know, that you go by,
right,
where you can kind of see where the person is in their mind that this is happening. But, of course, it's very difficult. Most recently, schizophrenia and bipolar have been differentiated, I think, much more than in the past 100 years. They've realized some of the unique features of each of the illnesses.
Well, you know, that's what I was saying. You can't really, I don't think, just put a label to everything, but it is mental illness, and it seems like you're taking the right kind of medicine, and you're overcoming this, and you're conquering this. So everybody out there, look at Minority of Mind, a book by Ben Boone, and I think it's something important for all of us to read because we never know when we're going to encounter this ourselves as it came suddenly on Ben or with family members, right?
Yes, yeah, it can come on very suddenly, and the most important thing to do is to see the early warning signs, to see when things are starting to go wrong.
Well, Ben, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, and I wish you the best of luck, good luck with your book, and I hope that you continue conquering this illness.
Happy New Year. and kiss me pretty. Kiss me pretty when that ball drops on New York City. When that clock strikes, I'll pull you near just to wish you a happy new year. I'll quit smoking, I'll quit eating, I'm not joking, I'll quit cheating, I'll quit cursing, I'll quit drinking, I'll be a better person. But tonight I'm thinking, let's get in the trouble. September, but with you here, every night is a happy new year. A happy new year, a happy new year. Let's raise a glass. Cheers to you, dear. I'm so glad that I found you.
This is Stuart Venner. I really want to thank you for tuning into this week's show. We hope you enjoyed it. If you want to find out more, talk with us, or make suggestions for topics or guests, then follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Stuart Venner or Facebook at facebook.com/Stuart Venner's World. Remember, you can hear all of our shows and see what's new at stuartvenner.com. If you want to hear the Stuart Venner Show in your own area, contact your local radio station and request us. In fact, hound them. Tune in next week for more amazing guests and stories. Thank you.
I wet myself.
Aren't you ashamed?